Thank you, guys. You know, we started the service with the Shema. Hear, O Israel, we're talking about our roots. Hear, O Israel, hear, O Rock, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's our roots. That's who we are. And we've gathered today to worship Jesus and to see him and experience him in the giving of his gifts. But we wanted to just spend a moment as we prepare for this to think about our roots as a church. There are a lot of names out there that you could decide upon to name your church. Why is it that we chose the Rock? Well, let's look at a few suggestions for the scriptures. First of all, it seems like rocks are God's first choice when it comes to weapons, right? Think about it. If you were caught in adultery, if you murdered someone, are my favorite, if you're a disobedient son, the scriptures speak about how to deal with that, okay? What you do is you gather the community of believers around and you say, here's an example, son, could you please take out the trash today? And let's say the son says, you're out of your mind, man. I'm busy. Great, I'm glad to hear that, son. If you can come here, can we gather the community around? And what do? We pick up rocks, right? And we cast in his direction, and we've done away with disobedience, right? When you go to Israel, by the way, you've got to go. My wife and I are going again in March. We'd love to take you all with us. If you're interested, come talk to me. But when you go there, the one thing that you will see is there are rocks everywhere, okay? And they're free. I suggest you pick them up. And when you're on the Mount of Olives, write Mount of Olives on it and put it in your pocket. Okay? And when you go down to the Garden of Gethsemane, pick one up and write the garden. Wherever you go, rocks are everywhere. It's his land. He likes them. Okay? Remember David when he picked a fight with Goliath? Right? What did he stop to get? How many? Five. I think that's fascinating. I think that tells us something about his personality, right? David's a strategic thinker. He's picked a fight with a giant. He picks up five rocks. Do you think it's because he's thinking, if I miss the first time, I better have something to fall back upon, right? Or is he thinking, that dude is awful big. I don't know if one will do it, okay? I don't think any of those things are true. Scripture tells us Goliath had four brothers. And David's saying, you know what? I better be prepared. I'll take them all on. Okay? So I better get five rocks. Now, somebody might look at that and say, wow, that's a pretty weird reason to name your church the Rock. You're right. That's not why we name this place the Rock. Okay? But the scriptures also speak about the rock being a stumbling stone. Do you know that? Let me read to you. Isaiah 8, verse 14 says, he will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Peter quotes that and says the exact same thing. We also know that this stone will not be accepted by all, or this rock. We know that it's the rock that the builders rejected. We're told that in Psalm 118 and also in Matthew 21. And so I think we gave you a rock today, didn't we? As you look at this rock, realize this. Have you ever had a rock in your shoe? Okay, at some point, your brain tells you, you need to stop, man. You need to pull your shoe off and get that thing out. because it is irritating, right? Have you ever had to, you've gone to a wonderful, gorgeous beach, and let's say you surf, and you're thinking that's great, but there's no sand, and it's all rocks, and some of those people look so nimble, I'm not one of those people. Have you ever stepped on a rock? The pain that just a little pebble can bring? The image is this. Jesus left no room for neutrality when it came to him. For some, and in a moment we'll talk about him as a cornerstone and as a foundation for us, but for some, they'll always trip over Jesus. You know that? Intentionally. Jesus, mark my words, one of the options of a multiple choice question, who is Jesus? One of the answers is not a good moral teacher. When it comes to Jesus, you have three choices. A, he's a liar. B, he's a lunatic. Or C, he's the Lord. Those are your only choices. Why? Well, he claimed to be God, right? We just went through a series of who is Jesus really. His words, not mine. He claimed to be the I am of God. You either have to say, you're lying, you're just a good teacher, right? He claimed to be God. So A, he's a liar. Lunatic, you know he actually believed it? What do we do with people today that believe they're God? Okay? We have places for them, right? To protect them and us. Because people that think they're God usually want to do something to us, right? Or what's the third choice? He's who he said he was. Those are your choices. Some people will receive him, and when they receive him, he becomes the third thing. He becomes a foundation of their lives. The scripture calls it the chief cornerstone. Jesus says, a wise man, when he builds his house, he will build it on the rock. Because not if, but when the storms of life come, because he built his house on me, he will be victorious, right? And some will say, I refuse to build my house on the rock. I reject Jesus, and that stone will be a stumbling block the rest of their life. We read to you in Psalm 161 in our call to worship. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. That the rock is a firm foundation. It's a tower of refuge that the righteous can run into and they're safe. I think we're getting close to the reason why we name this place the rock. Because the rock for us is Jesus Christ. Now, by the way, I don't think I introduced myself. My name's Dan. I'm one of the pastors at the Rock Church, and I have a passion for the Old Testament. Go figure, right? I bring you an Orthodox rabbi and a Jewish black man with talits all over himself, okay? What better way to have a service, right? And we're quoting the Shema. And so what would this be if I didn't give you one more Old Testament reference of a rock? Let's go back a couple thousand years, maybe three or four, and we've all come out of Egypt victoriously. The first Passover, Moses stood up with the staff, the Red Sea opened, and we walked through, right? Where'd we go? We went to the desert of Mount Sinai, and it is hot. Not only is it hot, we're getting thirsty. When you combine hot and thirsty together, you get miserable. And when you get miserable, you begin to complain. And you know, complaining is contagious, isn't it? Anybody a complainer in here? Come on, man. Every hand should go up, man. You know, we all complain. Can you see us out there walking? Guy in front of you saying, man, I'm getting thirsty, man. And you're saying, tell me about it. You know? And you're saying, is it hot to you? I said, are you kidding me? This is like hell out here, man. I'm hot. I'm thirsty. And by the way, does anybody have any idea where we're going? Okay? That guy up there is leading us, but every so often he's got that look like he's kind of clueless, right? I don't know about you, but if I don't get something to drink and then somebody yells out, what did you bring us out here for, man? You're trying to kill us all. And like I told you, grumbling's contagious. And pretty soon there's a mini riot about ready to take place. But God says to Moses, don't worry about this one. I got this one. He says, Moses, I want you to go up to this rock. And I want you to take that staff that you had, that you opened the Red Sea, and I want you to strike the rock. And he did it, and you know what came forth? Water. And it provided temporary relief for the people. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians, wants to make sure that you understand the significance of that rock. Because he says that rock in the wilderness was Christ. That when Christ was struck, temporary relief of water came to the people. Now, we're going to prepare for communion. And you might notice that our communion table looks a little bit different than normal. Because we have a cup that should have wine in it. Imagine it's there. But what else do we have here? Rocks. Do you realize that the devil knows about rocks also? And do you know there was a time where Jesus was fasting for 40 days? Ever fasted before? I am the self-confessed worst faster in the world, okay? I know what the scriptures say about no one should know, but when I'm fasting, everybody knows. Okay? I get so hungry, I start chewing on just about anything. Forget pencils, pens, or whatever it may be, right? And that's only after a couple days, right? Imagine 40 days, and the devil appears to Jesus, and he says, check out those rocks, right? He says, hey, Jesus, why don't you turn those rocks into bread? Tell you, if it was me, I'd say that ain't a bad idea, okay? Been chewing on them already, right? But this time Jesus, because of the fast, he had eternal issues on his mind. And he said to the devil, can't do that. He said, because something will be struck again, but it has to provide something more than temporary relief. Devil, you're going to strike this body, and it is going to provide eternal relief. Do you know that's true? Do you know that Jesus, the scriptures tell us that his body was broken, struck, so that we might once and for all be forgiven eternally? Do you know what it was like for Jesus to have his body broken? Do you realize that the scriptures tell us that after he was beaten and whipped and scourged and spit upon and fixed to the cross, that if we were walking by the cross, we would say, what in the world is that? That it would not even represent or be recognized as a human being. Do you know that? And do you know that Jesus said, you need to do something often in remembrance of me. And so today, on this Memorial Day, we have decided to celebrate communion together. And Jesus is not going to turn these rocks into bread for you. He does something much greater than that. He says, take my body. It's given for you. Our ushers are getting ready to serve you. Our band is coming up here, but there's two things that we must do first. If you're not a Christian, we are so happy that you're here. But if you remain not a Christian, these gifts are not for you. But the good news is this. If today you want to receive the free gift of God for the forgiveness of your sin and that you might spend eternity with him, in a moment we're going to pray. And in the quietness of your heart, you can pray a very simple prayer. And upon praying that prayer, you can have your first communion. Because you see, it's why you're here today. God brought you. And he wanted you to hear the simple message that he has for you. That he loves you so much that he died just for you. And Christians, as the ushers and greeters are coming forward to serve us, we're told, hey, don't do this lightly, man. Not out of habit. You need to spend time in my presence, and you need to reflect upon me. And so, let's pray, and let's prepare to receive these gifts. First, to those of you who've never received Christ before, if it's your time now, in the private, in the quietness of your heart, pray this prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for loving me so much that you died so that I might live. And today I receive you as my personal Savior. Come into my life. I invite you in. And Jesus, I'm praying this in your name. Amen. And Lord, as we worship, help us to focus just on you. Prepare our hearts to receive your gifts.